a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning. I want to welcome everyone to Senate Health and Human Services. We have two bills on the docket today. First of all, we have our pages. I'd like you to please come to the microphone, introduce yourself, and say where you're from. And now we've added, if you already have future plans where you're going to go to school and what your major might be. Welcome.
Alexander Mattern from Aberdeen Mount Holly, and I'll be attending the University of South Dakota for public relations this fall.
I'm Kevin Wagner. I'm from Spearfish. I'll be going to USD in the fall, and your guess is as good as mine for what I'll be doing while I'm there, but we'll figure it out.
That's right. You need that learning opportunity as long as you're pursuing something. Good. Thank you. Welcome. Just a reminder, if you're going to be testifying today, I would ask you to please sign in. Also, if you have your cell phones, please silence them. With that, I'll ask the secretary to take roll.
Sandra Bradford.
Here.
Holeen.
Here.
Jensen.
Here.
Krebs, excused. Rampelberg.
Here.
Soholt.
Here.
Hunhoff.
Here.
Madam Chair, there are six present.
Thank you. We do have a quorum present. I would entertain a motion from our last meeting for the minutes.
Moved
by Senator Holeen, second by Senator Jensen. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Thank you. With that, as I said, we have two bills on the docket. I'm going to go below the line and go to House Bill 1233, which would grant limited immunity for the provision of voluntary medical services under certain circumstances. Proponents, please. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I'm Scott Eklund, representative from District 25. And today I'd like to bring to you House Bill 1233. Yesterday I got to give 1234, and that was a real treat. There was a lot of comments about that, but it did go through. So I'd like to talk to you today about 1233. The idea for 1233 came from a 7th District medical meeting which I attended, and other representatives and future representatives and senators attended. There were some retired physicians there, and they were speaking to Representative Stephen Hickey and myself about what we could maybe do about malpractice. Their words to us were, and I quote, "We're sitting on our hands here." They wanted to be able to do some volunteer work with the skills they had developed over 35 to 40 years of medical practice. Carpenters are able to volunteer with Habitat for Humanity and other charities to build houses for those who are in need. A landscaper can donate his services to landscape someone's yard. A physician, however, cannot volunteer at the Union Gospel Mission without the anxiety of a potential lawsuit. This bill is designed to allow a physician to see patients with his parish nurse, for example, possibly even make a trip to our reservations, or, as I mentioned earlier, volunteer at the Union Gospel Mission or other such places as that, all without having to pay the high cost of a malpractice insurance. These are retired, at least in my view of this, the way this bill would be used. It'd be retired physicians who have maintained their medical licenses and have kept up with the standards that their overseeing board requires. So far, I've been talking just about physicians and how this bill would free up retired physicians to volunteer. However, I do have an amendment that I'd like the pages to pass out.
Is this 1233JB?
Yes, it is, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
And this amendment, what this does is, as this bill has progressed, there has been, you know, I'm a physician. I guess I forgot to mention that for Internet people, but when this bill started out, my interest was, again, brought to me by physicians to a physician. We started thinking about physicians, but as this bill has progressed, there's been expansion in the understanding of the need. There are dentists that are also retired or who are willing to volunteer. There are nurse practitioners or RNs. There are others that would also fit well into this bill. So the amendment defines what a licensed medical professional is under Title 36, which would then include those different professions that I just mentioned. So with that, I will stand down and be available for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Would someone like to move the amendment?
Hello.
Moved by Senator Rappelberg, second by Senator Holeen. Okay. Further proponents to HB 1233 as amended. Further proponents. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, ma'am. Good morning, ma'am, chairman, members of the committee. My name is Justin Bell. I'm an attorney from Pierre. I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota State Medical Association. Representative Eklund gave a good summary of how this bill came to be. It's some of the physicians that would be part of our group that were looking at this. We think this amendment makes the bill with the amendment makes the existing laws we have clear to make sure that if you're a licensed healthcare professional that you'd be covered under those laws. We think it's a good change in law and would ask for your support on the bill as amended. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Other proponents to 1233 JB as amended? Good morning and welcome.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Paul Connect. I'm the Executive Director of the South Dakota Dental Association. Yes. Is that better? Our group would like to lend our support to this bill as amended. We do have a few events actually planned for the reservations coming up this summer and this fall, and so both the dentists and our hygienists who will be volunteers might be able to utilize this. So I appreciate your indulging me in your support of the bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Other proponents? Any other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents? Any opponents? Seeing none, we'll close this to public hearing and open it up for questions. Any members have questions?
Sure.
Senator Rampelberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is for the doc. Representative. You know, this is the whole intent here is something that I've been thinking about for quite some time, and I've had people talk to me about this, as have you, friends who are retired medical docs, and one of the issues that has come up has been liability insurance. And, this hopefully would obviate the need for that kind of thing, but from your experience, and you've got a lot more knowledge here than I do, do you feel that there's a crack in the armor? That this bill would what I'm asking is this. Are the docs going to have some form of liability insurance even if this bill passes?
Madam Chair, Scott Eklund, District 25. Thank you, sir, for your question. I'm not an attorney. I'm a physician. I don't understand the legal aspects of some of this stuff other than having lived it for 30 years. I believe this bill will allow physicians to be less anxious about malpractice as they practice completely, and I will emphasize this, completely within their scope of practice and training. And part of the bill says that gross negligence is, I think it's hard to win a lawsuit anyway when a physician is practicing in his scope of practice, and I don't see any of the people that I know of volunteering and then giving gross negligence. So I think the physicians that I've talked to and that I've experienced in myself as I've gotten older and look forward to maybe someday retiring, I think I will be willing to give my time in volunteering in the country. At this point, I've been all over the world volunteering, and I never worry about malpractice in Peru, in Vietnam, in Africa. It's only in the United States I have to worry. So there we are. Thank you.
Any other questions? Seeing none, then, committee action on House Bill 1233 JB as amended. Senator Bradford.
Madam Chair, I think this is great. But I really thought most of these guys were already operating in IHS. That's what we get for doctors. But I think this is great, and I would hope it would make greater access in our, especially in our rural communities where we have a tough time getting doctor care. So with that, I'd make a motion.
You're out of order because you gave comments before your motion. Sorry, oh, Senator Bradford.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Reminder here, we have to deal with the amendment. So you want, you're still. So the motion before us is the amendment 123JB. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Okay. Now, Senator Bradford.
Thank you. With that, I will make a motion to pass as amended, 1233.
Thank you. It's been moved by Senator Bradford, second by Senator Soholt, do pass on 1233JB as amended. Any comments on that motion? Hearing none, the motion before you is do pass House Bill 1233JB. Those in as amended, I'm sorry. It's not the amendment, it's the bill. House Bill 1233 as amended. Those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Bradford.
Aye.
Helene.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Krebs, excused. Rampelberg.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Hunoff.
Aye.
Madam Chair, there are 6 yeas, 1 excused.
Thank you. Motion passed. Thank you. It's be sent down to the Senate floor. With that.
Amendment had my initials.
No, it's amended. It's amended bill. With that.
Who's the second person? Yes.
Smith. Bell, Justin Bell. Justin Bell did.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, the guy after him.
The guy after him was.
That's right.
I don't see his name on here. Oh. Did you sign in, Paul? Okay. Paul Connect is his name.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. With that, we will now take up House Bill 1214. For the benefit of those, we will take testimony today and we will take final action on Monday. So with that, we'll have House Bill 1214, which is to provide medical care for certain unborn children. Well, I think this is a first. Welcome, Representative Hunoff. Well, you know what? This is the middle of the week, and I get sort of lonesome. So you resemble so much my husband, so it's really good to see you. Thank you.
I was only a little younger and a little better looking, right? So, and a little richer. And probably another party. So, no, thank you. And I feel welcome. Thank you very much, Madam Chair. And we bring before you House Bill 1214. I'm Bernie Hunoff, a state representative from Yankton, District 18. Madam Chair, members of the committee, 6.2 million babies die every year across the world before their first birthday. 4 million of those babies die before they reach a month in age. Our infant mortality rate here in South Dakota is lower than the world rate, but it's higher than the region, and although the studies bounce around, it's higher than many times some of the highest rates in the nation among the 50 states. I saw one study that put us at fourth, another study that put us at something like 22nd. So the rates vary, but they're by any measurement way too high for the good state of South Dakota. Our rate is higher than countries like Chile and Latvia and Malaysia and Slovakia. We have the same rate as Kuwait. Maybe a better way to look at it is the way that the Governor Dugard's Infant Mortality Task Force put it. The Governor's Task Force noted that 877 infants have died in the last 10 years before their first birthday, about 80 per year. And as I said, that's much higher than the rates of North Dakota, Nebraska, Minnesota, all our surrounding states, 33% higher than most surrounding states. 32% of those deaths are in American Indian families, 68% in non-Indian families. So it's a problem on the reservation, off the reservation, all across South Dakota. I really commend Governor Dennis and Dugard and the First Lady for developing the Infant Mortality Task Force. It's been a call to action. And there have been similar calls to action around the world, around the country and around the world. In fact, in researching for this bill, I found an interesting paper last night done by 7 researchers in Mexico. And they published it in a very prestigious journal called, I'm probably butchering the name, but Palos Medicine. And they came to conclusions, of course, that, as you well know, on the health committee, prenatal and neonatal care can make all the difference, not only in saving lives, but improving lives. In fact, the Pelot study said preterm, low-weight, birth-weight babies that survive have long-term health problems and disabilities, everything from cerebral palsy to deafness to learning difficulties and many others. The severity of those disabilities, they concluded, have long-term costs to families and to society as a whole. Can we do anything about this? I can't imagine that we would want to sit here and say we can't. In fact, we can do something today, and that's really the good news. House Bill 1214 can't fix everything, but it fixes one small part of the problem. We have a gap in Medicaid coverage. Right now, we provide Medicaid coverage for prenatal care for all babies, unborn babies in South Dakota, unless the gap is the coverage comes with the mother. The gap arises because if the mother is not a citizen, then the baby and the prenatal care is for the baby, then the baby doesn't qualify because he or she has to qualify through the mother's Medicaid eligibility. So all this does is recognize that prenatal care is for the baby, and regardless of the mother's citizenship, the baby is eligible through CHIPS. This is something the federal government has recognized as a problem, and they've allowed, and I think something like 15 states have already done so, including Nebraska, Minnesota, and Wyoming, and I assure you other states will be following quickly. Because as a governor, and we all said when we did corrections reform, we're trying to be smarter about the way we do government. And that's what House Bill 1214 is all about. It's just trying to be a little smarter about how we do government. That's what all the Medicaid waivers are really all about, trying to say, well, this hasn't necessarily worked so well, so let's get a waiver and try it this way. By any measurement, prenatal care saves dollars. A good friend of ours on the House side asked for a fiscal note on this bill, and the fiscal note came back with a statement that you'll probably hear more from later, perhaps from BFM, I'm not sure. But the fiscal note came back saying it'll cost about $240,000. They did make a note in there that the prenatal care certainly can, I don't have the language in front of me, but can prevent complications. That means prevent the baby from going to the neonatal unit, and it can obviously save some money. So by any measurement, it saves money. An NCS cell study shows that you can save about $3 for every $1 invested. That study was done some years back. I'm sure the savings are even greater today because today medical science has improved so much that we're saving many more long-term babies, but low birth weight babies, but we're sending them to neonatal units at a great cost. So I assure you it will save money. It'll save lives. It'll save complications. It'll improve lives. It's a step we can take today or this session. And I really submit to you, it's just all about priorities. We've got a $4.2 billion budget. We've got all sorts of spending, new and old, in that budget. Everything for, you know, tens of millions of dollars to tear down buildings in Yankton, to build up buildings, to build a new state park, to develop an old state park, money for tourism and scholarships and economic development. The other day in state affairs, we had a bill, $1 million, just to track how our college students are doing for employment in South Dakota. $1 million for that. House Bill 1214 just simply proposes to make a really smart investment that will pay a 3-to-1 return at least. That same NCSL study indicated that the 3-to-1 return is just for the immediate costs. They estimated that the long-term costs of that dollar spent could be $13 to 1. So I would just ask you to give it favorable consideration. You'd be a very lucky family if nobody in your family has needed Medicaid. And it's somehow got to be a kind of a bad word in political lexicon, I guess, for some folks. But it's helped a lot of people. And if you're one of those lucky families that's never needed Medicaid, then God bless you. But many, many families have benefited greatly from it in South Dakota. This bill will simply help the poorest of the poor, the youngest, the most fragile, the most in need. Most of us, as I look around this room, most of us come from immigrant families. My great-grandfather, Gerhard, came from Germany in, I think, about 1883. And he wasn't an illegal immigrant. He might have been by today's requirements, but he was an illegal emigrant. There's still a warrant out for his arrest in Germany. He left without permission. I keep telling Dan and Mark they should go over there and pay up that bill. But so he was an illegal emigrant, and he ended up in Dakota Territory. and with babies. And if you go to the cemetery, or you go to any country cemetery where these immigrants came, you can see the cemeteries. You'll see the cemeteries filled with graves of infants. They came over here without a real understanding of health care, brought their families to, I'm sure, to new diseases that they weren't accustomed to and new ways of life, and the infants paid the price. And I'm sure everybody did all they could in the 1870s to prevent that from happening. We should do all we can in this 21st century to do all we can to save those immigrant babies. So I ask you for favorable consideration. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. We've got several others who want to testify. Thank you.
Thank you. Other proponents for House Bill 1214. Good morning, Representative. Welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. Mine will be a lot shorter. I don't have a lot of statistics. But I do want to cover the two things, the South Dakota residents that are here illegally and mothers-to-be. I've submitted in the past few years some of the illegal alien bills and could not even get one through the committee. This bill, HB 1214, puts me in the middle and makes it a very difficult decision. I am for removing illegal aliens from our great state because they're here illegally. They have broken our laws, and they should be sent back to whatever country they came from. That's my opinion of illegal aliens. But because of the ineptness of our federal government and our homeland security, they are still here. And now it is our problem to deal with. As you probably already know, I am very strong pro-life. And what we are discussing here are not fetuses, but babies that are not yet born. I do not want the mother to have an abortion. I don't want her to have a miscarriage. Instead, I want her to have a healthy, strong, full-term baby without potential major expensive health problems, complications, and they're out there. The best way to limit that potential is to have prenatal care. I believe this way, in the long run, will be less expensive to our citizens here in South Dakota. I ask that you vote green on this very difficult decision. Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members.
Thank you. Other proponents for House Bill 1214. Good morning and welcome back, Representative.
Good morning. I hope I have as good a luck with this bill as I did with the last. But, Madam Chair and committee members, I'm Scott Eklund, Representative from District 25. And I also come to you today in support of House Bill 1214. I'm a family physician, and I've been doing obstetrics for over 30 years. I've delivered well over 1,000 babies in that time, and to be honest, I never did keep track, so I know I'm way underestimating that. Many of them at Senator Soholt's Hospital of Era, which I love dearly. It's a great hospital. I believe this bill is pro-life, pro-child, and pro-economics for our state. I don't think there's any question. In my experience and in discussing these kinds of issues with my peers, there's no question that mothers who go without prenatal care have a higher risk of premature labor, gestational diabetes, and other pregnancy complications. Just one, and I emphasize, just one premature delivery and subsequent stay in the neonatal ICU can run anywhere from $200,000 to $400,000. Representative Hunhoff referred to the fiscal note that was brought up, and when that came out, I was very surprised that it said it was going to, that this could possibly cost $250,000. But then I asked, well, did they take into account what one neonatal intensive care nursery bill could be to offset that cost? And the answer was no. And clearly that is a huge issue that needs to be addressed.
gestational diabetes is another very common problem that we see today. And gestational diabetes causes babies to be quite large. And I've seen them be 10 to 12 pounds when they're delivered, if they're delivered to a mom who has untreated gestational diabetes. This problem leads to increased cesarean sections because a woman's pelvis is only so big, and a 10 to 12 pound baby can't fit through that pelvis for the most part, so they end up having a cesarean section, which also increased cost. That was not factored in my understanding into the fiscal note either. So I do believe that economically this makes sense. By offering prenatal care to these mothers, we can minimize these complications and save money in the process. As Representative Hunhoff just said, this is smart medicine. And I don't think you would find an obstetrician that would disagree with what I'm saying. These women are delivering in our hospitals anyway, and the cost burden is on our shoulders either way. So this, to me, this bill makes good fiscal sense, and I believe morally it is also the right thing to do, to take care of these unborn babies, as Representative Steele so gracefully said it. Thank you, and I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you. Other proponents for House Bill 1214? Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Deputy Fisher Clemens with the Barry Hall. I don't think that I can say much more than what the three representatives before me said, and they said it very, very well. I would just add two things. First of all, prenatal care is about the baby.
Is your microphone on? Yes. Sorry. That little light is tricky. Prenatal care is about the baby. It is about health, and it is about life. The representatives discussed dollars. The one piece that they didn't talk about is if you, in fact, have a preterm baby. They spend time in the neonatal intensive care, and they've addressed those costs. But what the costs that they didn't address are once that baby reaches school age. Typically, preterm babies have very special needs and many times have disabling conditions that result in special education needs in the schools. That is also a concern and an issue for us, and so I would ask that you consider that. I would tell you that Avera has been involved in this discussion in past legislative sessions in other states where we have facilities. And we have been supportive in those states as well because we believe so strongly in that prenatal care is important to the baby. I would also just say that I had the opportunity to serve on the First Lady's Infant Mortality Task Force last summer, and it was very much a learning experience for me. I haven't spent a lot of time in the care needs of babies and moms, and what is happening in this state and the concerns that we have and the dollars that it's costing us, it is very, very important that any time we can prevent a preterm delivery, it saves us money and it saves the baby. Thank you. Thank you. Other proponents of 1214. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Travis Benson, lobbyist for the Catholic Diocese of Sioux Falls. This bill is about recognizing the dignity of the child in the womb and respecting that child's life, right to life, regardless of the mother's citizenship status. I find it interesting, under the federal law that applies in this instance, a child by definition means an individual under the age of 19 years, including any period of time from conception to birth. From conception to birth. What a strong pro-life statement we have in our federal law. Where else in federal law will you find such a strong pro-life public policy? While their low-income and impoverished mothers are not eligible in their own right, what we have here is innocent. We have vulnerable children who should not be made to suffer the harmful consequences to their potential health and well-being due to their mother's conduct and decision. We also understand that there are legitimate concerns with regards to the issue of illegal immigration. However, we ask you in this instance to err on the side of life. We ask your support for this important public policy matter. Thank you.
Thank you. Other proponents of 1214? Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Mark Chase. I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Family Policy Council. We rise in favor of this today, and there's a couple principles that we follow in regards to this bill. First of all, if we err, let us err on the side of compassion. The God of the Old Testament told the Israelites to care for the aliens. He didn't differentiate whether they're legal or illegal. He said simply, care for the aliens. This bill also deals with life, the life of an infant. I have five children. We had good prenatal care. I never understood as a young man the value and the importance of prenatal care. Not until my daughter-in-law was pregnant with our first two identical twin grandsons. There were major complications. Potentially could have lost her and those babies without the good prenatal care that she had back in Sioux Falls. These women deserve to have good prenatal care, especially for their babies that they're carrying. We ask that you pass this. Thank you.
Thank you. Other proponents for 1214. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Scott Ziske. I'm a registered lobbyist for Regional Health, parent corporation for Rapid City Regional Hospital. I'm before you this morning to urge your support of House Bill 1214. On behalf of Regional Health, we believe the bill is well-timed and the right thing to do, and I thank you again for your support of this important legislation. Thank you.
Other proponents for 1214? Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Carl Kroger. I live here in Pierre and am representing myself. You all have before you a wonderful and beautiful bill that prioritizes common sense investments, compassion, and care for children. These little unborn babies are on their way into the world. Let's give them the needed care that they deserve so that their start as American citizens gives them the best shot possible to become healthy, productive members of society. I urge you to join with your fellow Democrats and Republicans that are committed to ensuring that less babies die unnecessarily and less babies end up in infant ICUs. I hope and pray that we don't miss out on a state on this wonderful opportunity to promote life. Thank you.
Thank you. Other proponents for 1214. Good morning and welcome.
I don't want to lose this. I might break the law if I get up here without that. Morning, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Justin Bell. I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota State Medical Association. I think the testimony provided for this bill has been very good to this point. I'm not going to expand on other than just to say it's repeatedly been stated that every dollar that's spent on prenatal care actually saves money. And that's important to consider. Studies have shown that there's an important portion of health care for an unborn child, and we would appreciate your support of this legislation. Thank you much, members of the committee.
Thank you. Other proponents of House Bill 1214? Other proponents? Not seeing any, we'll go to opponent testimony. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Alex Hansen. I'm with the Bureau of Finance and Management. I'm here today to ask you to oppose House Bill 1214. I think we can all agree that there's merits to prenatal care, but we oppose this bill on the basis of the ongoing costs to be seen. South Dakota currently covers pregnant women at the federal minimum level. Current Medicaid eligibility requirements for pregnant women include 133% of the federal poverty level, $7,500 asset limit, you must be a citizen of the United States, and you must be a resident of South Dakota. This bill would require that we expand Medicaid to women who are not currently eligible for Medicaid because they are not legal citizens of this country. Federal law states that Medicaid programs cover emergency services for people who are not citizens if they meet all other eligibility requirements. So this includes labor and delivery services. The fiscal note referenced that there were 184 pregnant women who were not citizens in the fiscal year 2012 who gave birth in South Dakota. The fiscal note also goes on to state that the estimated cost of this is a total funding amount of $527,896. And when you factor in the FY14 FMAP, that translates over to $241,777 in general funds, and the remainder of that will be covered by the federal government. To cover this would have to be a base budget increase, so we'd have to put this in the budget as an ongoing cost every year. And as you've seen in the governor's budget presentation, our FMAP level keeps we keep having to pick up a higher share of that FMAP cost year over year, so we can fairly assume that this cost might have the ability to increase ongoing. The merits of prenatal care aside, we have not been able to support expansion of eligibility for pregnant women who are citizens this year or in the past years due to shortage of funding. And with that, we ask you to oppose this bill, and I can stand by for any questions. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Other opponents for House Bill 1214? Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Rita Holglum, representing South Dakota Eagle Forum. And there's some things that I wanted to point out in the bill, because to me there's questions that have not been answered by the proponent's testimony. And it's a unique situation presented in 1214, because they've separated with respect to this particular health care, they've separated the mother from the child. And but prenatal care does deal with the mother as well as the child. But when you look at the words in the bill, we're sweeping in some things that, it's undefined and no one has dealt with it. On page 1, line 5, it says that this program that is started is solely to provide for the medical care of unborn children. Now, if this passes, then what is defined as the medical care of unborn child, and how far beyond prenatal care, or what we know as prenatal care, what does medical care for the unborn child mean beyond just the prenatal care that the mother has when she goes to her the clinic? So what is the definition of medical care for the unborn children? And if we do pass this 2, 3, 4 years down the road, what is going to be in this program because of the words that are now in law? On page 2, line 19 and 20, it says provide health coverage for the unborn child. Now, remember, 1214, we've separated the mother and the unborn child in this bill. The mother is separated from the unborn child. So what does providing health coverage for the unborn child actually mean beyond prenatal care? Because, again, this is not defined. There's no legislative input in terms of what those terms might mean. And what is this going to mean if this bill passes 3, 4 years down the road? These are the words that will be in law. Provide health coverage for the unborn child. And we're specifically just dealing with the unborn child. What is medical care for the unborn child going to mean 3, 4 years down the road when it's specific to the unborn child? So it's like passing the bill and then we'll find out what it means later. These things are not defined. They have not been dealt with in committee. There's no legislative input in terms of this is what these terms might mean or what they don't mean. And what does the federal programs mean with respect to these terms? I hope that you can oppose it until we get the answers, because I don't want to find out later, 3, 4 years down the road, what these words are or what they mean that are now in code. And they're they're well beyond, or may be well beyond, quote, prenatal care. Because again, prenatal care involves the mother. These phrases do not involve the mother. It is only involving the unborn child. And what does medical care or health coverage mean with respect to the unborn child? I hope you can oppose this bill until those questions are answered. Thank you very much.
Are there further opponents to House Bill 1214? Further opponents? Seeing not, Representative Hunoff, would you like a rebuttal?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Bernie Hunoff, a state representative of District 18. Just briefly on the fiscal note, if I could. And did the committee get copies of the fiscal note?
No, we did not.
I apologize that I didn't bring it, but our good friend from BFNM mentioned that the fiscal note indicates, and now I have a copy, that this will cost, if there are no savings, that the cost, the outside cost, will be $241,000 in general funds, $286,000 in federal funds, $527,000 total funds. They did give a nod to the point that studies show that offering prenatal care services is expected to improve birth outcomes and reduce the incident of neonatal complications. But I think as has been testified, there would clearly be savings. But even at those figures, the fiscal note is hardly worth the paper it's written on. It's quite a bit high. Nebraska passed this similar legislation. In fact, our language is very similar to Nebraska's. And Nebraska has 167,000 Hispanic population. South Dakota has 31,000, almost six times more. And in Nebraska, the cost in Nebraska is... If we had the same number per child as in Nebraska, the cost to South Dakota would be $103,000. If we based it on 184 infants times the Nebraska cost per infant, it would be $103,000, not $241,000. And, of course, we don't know how many of the Hispanics are here illegally. There's just no way to know those figures, but the department has suggested that the total births, I think they suggested, would be about 184. So the fiscal note, it's really hard to know. The real point is it saves money. The returns are 3-1 at least, as the good doctor and representative indicated. I mean, 1 or 2 months in the neonatal unit of one child will pay the total cost of the program if we can keep that one child out of the program. So it's a clear savings, I think, by any measurement. I can get you do have a copy of the NCSL study.
Yes.
One other thing, if I could, Madam Chair, and I'll conclude. It should be really pointed out, and I think it's been slightly alluded to, we cover the costs once there's a problem. Once a child goes to an emergency room and the mother, then we cover the costs. And once the child is born, we cover the neonatal costs. All House Bill 1214 is trying to do is being smarter about what we're doing and trying to prevent some of those extraordinary costs in the emergency room or in the neonatal unit or thereafter throughout the child's young life. We're trying to prevent some of those costs by some smart investments up front. So with that, I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you. Questions of the committee. Senator Soholt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question for the sponsor. I think the number was of pregnant women in 2010, I believe that was the year, was 184.
That's right.
Could you tell me in 2010, statewide, how many babies were in NICU that would have previously been undocumented, not qualifying, and then becoming citizens and on Medicaid?
No, I received that 184 number from the department. They've been very helpful about everything and about providing information, and I received that number from them. It might be a question for the department, but I don't have that statistic.
Did you want to ask the department?
And it wasn't part of the information they gave us.
So I just want to be clear. So when... Certainly, having worked in women's and children's for most of my entire career, I understand the value of prenatal care.
Absolutely.
I'm just trying to understand what is the scope of the issue of those that have ended up in NICU of undocumented. You do not have that information?
No, I do not.
Thank you.
So, and if it's available, you'd have to ask the department. Okay, thank you.
Other questions? Senator Jensen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for Representative Hunoff.
currently illegals cost South Dakota $30 million a year. Doesn't passing this bill codify and establish a new government program that encourages unlawful entry and exploitation of our health care system?
No, thank you for the question. I know that's been the talk in the hallways of the Capitol. It absolutely does not. I think as has been testified time and time again here, what we're talking about is providing care to the unborn child, and the federal government recognizes there's a gap here. We're simply trying to fill a gap for the unborn child who you can decide whether he's an American citizen at conception or at birth or anywhere in between, but is or will be an American citizen with his or her first breath, and we're just trying to provide that child the same health care that any other American child would receive.
Senator Bradford.
I don't know who to ask this of, but I want to know if somebody has an idea of what a month in a neonatal unit costs. Is there, from a department, would there be anybody who could give us those figures?
Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
Scott Eklund. This would be a guesstimate, but I think I probably would have the best guess here, having worked with some of these kids. 1 month in an intensive care neonatal unit, in my experience, depending on the procedures that would be done, I think would be upwards of $100,000 to $200,000. That would be my somewhat educated guess.
Go ahead.
Then would this prenatal care pretty much have prevent this from happening pretty much?
Thank you for the question, Madam Chair. I would not say that it would absolutely prevent a neonatal intensive care visit, because we have those all the time, even with women who get the best prenatal care. But clearly studies show that it improves the percentage significantly. There's nobody that would argue that. Nobody in medicine that I know of would argue that.
Thank you. That's all on the question.
Thank you. Mr. Hansen, I have a question for you. Let's talk about the data that you presented. What's the basis for the when the projections were for the utilization for the cost? What was that based on? What was your expense data based on?
Looking at
my eye. Is the green light on?
Okay, now, okay. Madam Chair, good question. Okay. Alex Hansen with BFM. Great question. We looked at, using some help from DSS, they had $14 million in pregnancy costs for fiscal year 12. And so what they did was they separated out the hospital and birth-related charges, and they were left with a total of $5.7 million for prenatal care. They took that number and looked at the number of women served, which was 2,015 women, and came up with a cost per individual, basically, and then applied that towards the 184 women, and the number you get to is the 527.
How did you come to the number of 184? How did you get that number?
Madam Chair, I think that's based on data from DSS, but I'd maybe defer to them to see if that's correct.
All right. Thank you. I'll do that. What I'm looking for is where you're getting the basis for the 184, what we're using that as a data point.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Kim Malsom Rice. I'm the Secretary of the Department of Social Services. The 184 comes from the number of women who qualified for those emergency services outside of being citizens of this country and had labor and delivery costs covered through the Medicaid program in the last fiscal year. So it's just the actual number of women who had labor and delivery charges charged to Medicaid. Thank you.
Other questions? Senator Jensen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This question for Mark Chase, if he's still here. Okay. Perhaps Travis would care to respond to this question. Don't we have organizations in place that can help these people besides increasing the size of government?
Madam Chair, I don't know if I'm the best person to answer that question. I know there's representatives from the healthcare industry that can answer that more clearly. What is the process that takes place when a undocumented illegal mother comes in for pregnancy care services, or how does that relate? But I don't know the specifics of that, so I'm sorry, I can't answer your question.
Follow-up.
Go ahead.
Sure. Well, for instance, like crisis pregnancy centers, Catholic charities, that sort of thing, don't we have these organizations in place already that can deal with these issues?
Madam Chair. Well, there are various entities through the church, through crisis pregnancy, but they're not prenatal care services. Are you asking, will they come into, say, a crisis pregnancy center and ask for reimbursement if they have to go to a hospital or go to an OBGYN or a family practice doc and they're charged for that prenatal care?
That could be an option, yeah.
Right. But the crisis pregnancy centers in themselves, I'm not aware of anyone that would have in South Dakota that would provide prenatal care that you would find within a doctor's office or a clinic setting.
But could they provide funding?
Possibly. I'm not, you know, an example of the Catholic Diocese of Sioux Falls, we have the Mother Teresa Endowment. And the Mother Teresa Endowment is an opportunity for pregnant mothers to never have to be pressured into having an abortion for whatever reason, and also financial reasons. So there are opportunities through our Mother Teresa Endowment where we'll help provide medical cost, especially labor and delivery costs that aren't through insurance or other means. But it's an opportunity, but is it going to give you the same type of care that you're going to provide perhaps through this option? I think it's going to be a little bit more difficult.
Okay. No further questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? As I said, we are not going to take committee action. We will take this up and do action on Monday morning. So thank you for those that came today and provided information. With that committee, we've concluded. We will meet on Monday then to take final action on House Bill 1214. Before we go, though, thinking that this was going to be our last meeting, not realizing, we want to say thank you to our secretarial staff that helped, to Charlotte and to Amanda, and want to thank the committee. I'm always one of those that believe in home growing, so I think probably Amanda would benefit last year. So I have very yard gardens. The gal works for me, and so this is wonderful. Okay, it is wonderful. So you can testify. All right, very good.
Oh,
we want to say thank you so very much, and we appreciate your efforts, and let's give them a round of applause. Also, we had talked about our last meeting to provide suggestions for the summer studies. I'll ask you to hold that over, and on Monday we will do that. Do you have any forms? I know in another committee. Okay, she will bring forms for Monday that we can complete. So those would be the two items then, would be final action on House Bill 1214 and then suggestions for summer studies. With that, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Senator Soholt, second by Senator Rampelberg. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.